بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, this is our fourth session for level 2 fiqh. Our fourth session for level 2 fiqh, المستوى الثاني on the Medina program. And today, we want to go to the next subject, which, if I remember correctly, is Sifat al-Ghusl min al-Janaba, right? Sifat al-Ghusl min al-Janaba. I think last week, we just read through it quickly, right? This description of Ghusl min al-Janaba. And we looked at the questions that are attached to it, the exercises, just briefly what they mean, in case somebody wants to go ahead and start looking at them. And today, inshallah, what we want to do is look at this description again. We want to read the description. We want to translate it. And we want to make sure that we understand it. We'll make sure we understand it. And then we'll try to look at the questions in whatever time remains. The questions that, or the exercises that are with it. Okay? So, somebody, let's start on page 8, on the bottom of page 8. Somebody read the title and yani the first line on page 8. Naam, Abu Bakr. Page 8. Naam. Sifatul ghusli min al-janabati. Notice there's no kasr in ghusl, but he read it as ghusli. Why is it ghusli? Mudafun ilayhi majroor. The sign that is majroor is kasra. Sifatul ghusli min al-janabati. What is the meaning of sifatul ghusli min al-janabati? Anybody? No.
The description of washing from major impurity.
No. The description of washing, of taking a complete washing from al-janaba, from a state of major impurity. Yani from having marital relations, ghusl min al-janaba, or that which is related to it. Okay, this is our third subject, sifatul ghusl min al-janaba. Okay, read the first line, Abu Bakr.
Al-janabatu hiya al-hadath al-akbaru, wa huwa nuzul al-mani, bi shahwatin min al-zakari aw al-untha, bi jima'in aw nahwihi.
Now, it should be like he read it, mani, with fatah instead of kasra. So pay attention, there's kasra there. But he read it as mani. It is actually with fatah, like he read it. Mani. Okay. Al janabatu hiya al hadathu al akbaru wa huwa nuzulu al mani bi shahwatin min al dhakari aw al unthar bi jima'. Should be bi jima'in. Aw. Yeah, bi jima'in instead of an bi jima'in aw nahwihi aw nahwihi. طيب al-janabatu. This is a definition, right? Ta'arif, definition of al-janaba. What is al-janaba? We're talking about description of the ghusl, the washing, the complete bathing from al-janaba. So we want to first know what is al-janaba, right? So al-janaba is al-hadathu al-akbar. What is al-hadathu al-akbar?
Major
state of impurity. State of impurity. Al-hadath al-akbar. Major state of impurity. Naam. Wahuwa nuzul al-mani. Coming out. Descending immersion of al-mani. Seminal fluid. Huh? Bishahwatin. With excitement. Yani with due to yani sexual stimulation, excitement. Bi shahwatin min al-dhakari aw al-unthar. From a male? From the male or the female? Bi jima'in aw nahwihi. Bi jima'in, jima'in, sexual relation? Due to sexual relations or? Whatever is like it. Something similar to that. Yani some type of sexual activity. Sexual intercourse? Huh? Or that which is like it. Al-hadath al-akbar. Yani, this is yani the major hadath. Yani, hadath means something that happens, something that's done that causes a person yani to invalidate their state of purification. A person is in a state of purification, wa alaykum salam. And then this hadath, yani something that happens, it invalidates it. Eliminates the state of purification. Al-hadath, al-akbar. Al-akbar, yani means the big one, the major one, the greater, yani hadath, that causes a person to lose their state of impurity, the state of purity. Now? Oh, we're on page 8 on the bottom of the page.
Okay, right.
Now, Abu Bakr. Naam. Naam. Yani, yeah, he's saying that many, that there's a difference between many and madhi. Nah. Okay, so here we're saying the actual emission of semen. Mm-hmm. That is a result of a person having sexual, yani excitement, stimulation, sexual stimulation caused the emission of many from the male or the female. Due to having actual sexual intercourse. Jima means sexual intercourse. Or that which is like it. Some other kind of sexual activity that might cause the emission of the semen. Alright? Naam, ya Nasir. Zakar, male or female. Yani this hadath, it can be yani from sexual stimulation in the male or in the female?
Zakar means male or female?
Al-Zakar is male. Al-Unthar, female. From the male or the female?
Sayyid? The shahwati is the, you said excitement, right? The shahwati?
That's
excitement.
Yani, shahwa means a person has sexual desire, sexual activity, sexual, yani, some...
Sexualization.
Yeah, no, I mean, their sexuality is stimulated due to something. And that stimulation, yani, causes the emission of the fluid. The shahwa. No. Yani, it has other meanings also. Yani shahwa has other meanings, but in this context, that's what it's talking about.
Okay.
Yani shahwa doesn't always only mean sexual, but in this context, it means sexual. Sexual activity, excitement, yani, stimulation.
Okay.
Sexual stimulation. But in other cases, it may have a different meaning. Yani shahwa doesn't always mean related to sex. It can be, yani shahwa, a person have desire for something else, you know,
okay.
Other kinds of desires.
Okay.
For something else. Now, طيب, so, okay, this is the definition of al-janaba, al-hadath and akbar. Yani there's hadath akbar and hadath asghar. So there's the minor and there's the major. This is the major thing that causes a person to lose their state of purification by descending of many due to shahwa from the male or the female, yani in the course of sexual intercourse or some other similar sexual activity. Okay, as far as the description of the ghusl min al-janaba. On page 9, top of the page, somebody read the first line, Abdul Karim. Wow. Somebody had brought some today? We had. We gave them out. I don't know. I didn't know it was that many people that didn't have it. Because I think last week there were 3 people that asked, and the brother made like 6 copies, you know? But anyway, we can always get some more, you know. This one is written on, but you can read it though, you know. No, I'm saying it's just that you know it may be a little distracting because it's written. There's a lot of notes on it already. But I mean, it's there, you know, so you can follow with it. Tayyib, the first line. Okay, who's gonna read? Oh, Abdul Karim, read the first line. If you want to. Maybe you were raising your hand to get a copy, and I thought you were raising your hand to read, but you didn't have a copy, right? Okay, Abdurrahman.
Yanwil ghusla min al-janabati.
Yanwi al-ghusla min al-janabati. What is the meaning? He intends the ghusl. What is the ghusl? Washing, bathing. Al-ghusl is a complete bath though, as opposed to wudu, which is also a washing or bathing, but it's not a complete bath, right? It's only washing certain members of the body. But here we're talking about ghusl means washing the whole body. He's intending a ghusl, a complete washing, a complete bathing from min al-janabati, from this state of janaba, the state of janaba, yani the major state of impurity. Huh? This is the first thing, the intent. Person has to have intention. Any act of worship requires intention. And the rule is that the intention is usually, mostly, yani, it's in the heart. It's not something that you have to say, but rather it's in the heart. Except in Hajj, say labayka, labayka Allahumma, labayk. Yani, or in Umrah, labayka Allahumma, bi Umrah. And this is intention, but generally speaking, worship requires intention that's in the heart. That a person has in their heart a consciousness and awareness, yani, that their goal or their objective is to do a certain thing for the sake of Allah. That's the intent here. They have intent, yani, of doing ghusl, this washing, for the sake of Allah, to clean yourself from the state of janaba. Okay, second line, Abdul Kareem. You send me Allah. What is the vowel on the end of this sentence? Allahi. Is the love of the Jalal here, is it the object of a preposition, a mudaf an ilay? What makes it majrur with kasra? What makes it Allahi? Somebody help us. Now, Sami Allahu. Yani, Allah is the fa'il here, or the mubtada, or the khabar? Huh? Or is it ism? Or is it ism kana, or khabaru inna? Making it marfu'un. He says, mafu'ulun bi. That's a new answer. Now we get a lot of different answers. Ikhtalaf al ulama. Who has dalil? Who has dalil? You say mafu'ulun bi. What's your dalil? Because it's the object. You send me Allah. Well, fatta is the, yani, you are naming, you are mentioning Allah, the name of Allah. So that's the object of the verb. You send me is a verb, is a fi'l mudari. And love the jalala is the object. Yani, it's maf'ulun bi mansub. And the sign that it's mansub is fatta. So put fatta on top of this word. Put fatta there. You send me Allah. He names Allah, he mentions the name of Allah. Yani, he makes intention and then he says, Bismillah. Yani, he says two words, Bismillah. No, Bismillah Rahman Rahim. Just Bismillah. Okay, third line. Naam, Nasir. Yaghsilu kaffayhi thalatha. What is the meaning? He washed his wrist up to the wrist. Two wrists. He washed the two wrists up to the wrist. Huh? Mustaqim, هذا الكلام? Two palms. We know what you mean. We just want to make you think a little bit. Huh? He washed the palms of his hands. He washed the two hands up to the wrist. Yani, kafayhi means up to the wrist. It means the hand up to the wrist, not going beyond it. Otherwise, hand can go up to the elbow, it can go up to the shoulder. But here we mean up to the wrist. That's why we're using this word kaf. Kaf means up to the wrist. Kafayhi. Kafayhi is originally what? Kafain. Kafain. Why is it kafain and not kafan? What's the difference between kafain and kafan? They mean the same thing. So why don't we use kafan instead of kafain? Huh? Yeah, kafan means two, and kafain means two also. Now, why are we saying kafain and not kafan? Because mafulun bi. So what does that mean? That it's what? Marfun?
No, mansub.
Mansub. It's mansub. Kafan means it's marfun. It's not marfun here. It's mansub. And then kafain became kafay, the noon, hadf and noon, because of what? Because idafa, because of idafa, the noon is deleted. Okay, really is what? Yagsilu kafain hu. Kafain hu. A kafain, when you put it in idafa with hu, we have to delete the noon. So it became kafay. And because the hu is preceded by ya with sukun, then it changed from hu to he. Kafayhi. It's good? Okay, yagsilu kafay thalatha. Means he washed his two hands up to the wrist three times. Next line. Musa.
يصب الماء يمينه على شماله فيغسل فرجه.
نعم يصب الماء بيمينه على شماله فيغسل فرجه. Now, what is the meaning of this? يَصُبُّ الْمَاءَ. What does that mean? What's the meaning of صَبَّ يَصُبُّ?
To pour.
يَصُبُّ الْمَاءَ. He pours what?
The water.
بِيَمِينِهِ. With his right hand. Huh? عَلَى شِمَالِهِ. Upon his left hand. نعم. فَيَغْسِلُ فَرْجَهُ. Then he washes his private parts. The private parts. Huh? He pours the water with his right hand over his left hand and then uses the left hand to wash the private parts. Use the left hand to wash the private parts. Nam. Yani, it's meaning tartib. Meaning tartib, like thumma. Meaning this. And then this. It came in that order. As opposed to you say, why he did this and that. We don't know which one he did first, right? It's not really clear. Unless we have something else that makes it clear. Okay, next line. Abdul Karim.
Yatawadda'u.
Marfoon.
Kama
yatawadda'u. Lil salati. That's a sun letter. للصلاة نعم يتوضأ كما يتوضأ للصلاة. What is the meaning? Wudu. What does that mean in English? He makes ablution as he makes ablution for salah. And he performs ablution كما just like. He makes ablution for salat. What does that mean? He makes ablution just as he makes ablution for salat. What does that mean? What's the intent meaning by this?
No, in the same way.
Huh? In the same way. Yeah, okay. What else can we understand from that? In the same way.
Complete.
One of the things that we understand from this is that it's complete. And there's ikhtilaf about this point. That's why I'm asking. Because the scholars differ about that. Some people say, except the feet. Because there's a narration that mentions the Prophet so as to wash the feet at the end. So here, but this narration, the hadith that mentions this wording is the indication that he washed the feet. No, that he did wash the feet. If he makes wudu kama, just as he makes wudu for salat, and wudu for salat, you wash your feet. You wash your feet. Huh? That's the fiqh. We'll talk about fiqh. But now we're just talking about Arabic, right? Yani, what's more correct? Allahu alam. Yani, Sheikh Abdullah ibn Abdurrahman Ali Bassam, in the notes that we used, that we'll refer to if we have a chance, he says that there's two different narrations that seem to suggest two different things. The narration that supports this point here suggests that he made complete ablution, including washing the feet. The other narration from Aisha suggests that he washed the feet at the end. The Sheikh said the jam' between the two of them, how do we make yajma baynahuma, that the Prophet ﷺ washed his feet in that ablution. And then in the end of the ghusl, he moved from that place and washed the feet again, just to get the mud off that was from the sand that he was standing when he was taking a ghusl. Anyway, that's part of the fiqh, discussion of the scholars, how they differ about this. He washed it now or he washed it later? Sheikh is saying he washed it now and later. Naam, Shar' Umdat al-Allam. Taysir al-Allam. Taysir al-Allam. So, yatawadda'u kama yatawadda'u lis-salat. So he makes ablution just like, huh? He makes ablution for salat. Next line. Next line. Abu Bakr. Yufidhu al-ma'a ala badanihi. Some of these words are not vowels, right? Yufidhu. From afadha, yufidhu. Al-ma'a maf'ulun bi. Ala badani. Ism majrur because of the preposition ala. And he is originally hu. It became he because what? Because the letter before hu is kasra. يعني يا والسكون والكسر makes who become he and whom become him and so on like this. Okay, يفيد الماء على بدنه. نعم على بدني يعني بدني. The كسر, the first كسر is because of على. The second كسر is because who became he for pronunciation. No, badan, badan. Fatha, fatha. Badanihi. Yufidu al-ma'a ala badanihi. What is the meaning? He pours water. Yeah, he pours the water on the whole body. Ala badanihi. All over his whole body. Pours water on the whole body. Yeah, it's a little bit different. Yasubbu means to pour. A father means to pour a lot. A lot of water. A father means like it's flowing. The water is flowing. And of course we don't mean to be wasteful, but it means you have to pour more water than just a little pouring. This is like you need to cover to get the whole body, right?
And there's no difference in the water right side and the left side.
We can talk about it. Right here we're just talking about the general description. Yani because even here, right, after he makes wudu the way he makes wudu for salat, even before pouring water over the whole body comes what? Pouring water over the head. Before pouring water over the whole body. But it's not mentioned here. Yani the point is, we're given the general description. Okay, when we look at hadith, we'll see some hadith mention this, other hadith mention something that's not mentioned in that one. Some hadith mention in general, another hadith mention specific. This hadith, the hadith that supports this, يعني يتوضى كما يتوضى للصلاة. That hadith doesn't describe, Maymuna doesn't describe how he made wudu. Just say he made wudu like he made it in salah. So that's general. But Aisha narrates that he washed his mouth, his nose, washed hands up to the right hand, left hand, details of wudu. So some hadith give us something general, another hadith gives us more details. Some hadith mentions something specific. The other hadith doesn't mention that, but it might mention something else that this one didn't mention. Right, so that's why the point is what? Here, that sometimes we can't go with one hadith and say, I read this in Bukhari and Muslim, that's it, I don't want to hear nothing else. It doesn't mention what you're saying. And there's other hadith also in Bukhari and Muslim, or in Abu Dawud or Tirmidhi, that may mention it, right? So that means that a person, before you take a stand on something and you want to argue and debate, you got to do a little bit of reading, you got to do some studying, you got to do some research, you got to collect all the authentic hadith related to that topic. Then you can say, Yani, I don't know where you made that up from. That's bid'ah. Like wiping the neck, right? We can't find no authentic hadith for wiping the neck in wudu. But how many books say it? Almost all the books say it. And then you wipe your neck. And they even tell you how to wipe it. How to place the hands, how to do it, what motion, all kind of stuff. And it has no basis whatsoever, right?
The backside, not front.
The backside, not front. So argue. Are you doing that wrong? You're supposed to use the back. Now the whole thing is wrong. You're not supposed to be doing it. There's no basis whatsoever for wiping the neck in wudu. There's no proof for it. The Prophet ﷺ didn't do it. And the people who say that, just ask them, bring me authentic hadith. And they probably imagine that there is one, but they don't know. Yufidu al-ma'a ala badani. So he pours the water over his body, whole body. Yani yahthi al-ma'a ala ra'sihi thalathan. It says what? Yeah. Meaning that he also, yani, you can say pour or yani, he put some water over his head three times. Yani, the detailed description of this is that the Prophet ﷺ used to wet his fingers and rub them in his hair to his scalp until he makes sure that it reached the scalp. Then he would pour the water over his head three times. After he first made sure that water has reached the scalp, the root of the hair, by rubbing his fingers in his hair, and then he poured the water. Now, but in any case, like we're talking general here, and he poured the water over his head three times. Okay, next line.
What is the root word again of it? Yahti.
Yeah, hatha.
Oh,
so, yani, hatha with aleph at the end of it. I think it's aleph maksura, but we can check, inshallah. Naam. Yeah.
Yagsilu qadamayhi fi makani afara indal hajara
indal
hajati kama lau kanat ardo.
It cannot, because of Hamzatul Wasl should be vowel, right? We put what vowel here? Kanatil Ard. Kanatil Ard. What's the vowel on Al Ard? Al Ardu. Al Ardu. Why is it Ardu? And not Ardi. Walaykum salam wa rahmatullah. Why is it Ardu and not Ardi? Khabaru kana or ism kana? Ism kana is marfu'un. Khabaru kana is mansubun. Ism kana is marfu'un. Kana til ardu. Naam? Should be dhamma instead of sukun. And what's the last word?
Teen.
Teenan. Why is it teenan? Mansub by what?
Khabaru kana.
And ardu is ism kana. And teen is khabaru kana. Okay, so what are we saying here? يَغْسِلُ قَدَمَيْهِ فِي مَكَانٍ آخَرَ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ كَمَا لَوْ كَانَتِ الْأَرْضُ طِينًا. Sorry, what is the meaning? Somebody? يَغْسِلُ قَدَمَيْهِ فِي مَكَانٍ
آخَرَ.
He washes 2 feet
in another place,
other than where he was standing making the ghusl. عِنْدَ الْحَاجَةِ. If there's a need to wash it again. Why? Because he already washed it. كَمَا يَتَوَضَّأُ the salat, he already washed it. So no, if there's no need, you don't have to wash it again. It's not mandatory to wash it again. But they're saying what? This is based on the opinion of those who say that the Prophet ﷺ washed his feet in the wudu of ghusl. He washed his feet. They're saying he washed it already.
Right.
Like he does for salat. Therefore, washing it after moving to another place is end al hajah. If there's a need. If there's no need to do it again. You already washed it. Okay, that's the opinion of the scholars who hold that view. The other scholars say, no, you have to wash it at the end. That's the original rule. And not in the ablution, in the wudu of the ghusl, but in the end of the ghusl. Different opinion, right? That is, in the hajj, kama law kanat al-ardu thina. Yani, if there's a need, such as if the earth that he was making, that he was standing upon making ghusl was, yani, soil from the earth. The soil from the earth. If you're standing on the soil of the earth, then if you're standing upon water of yourself, you'll be standing in a puddle of mud. So in that case, if there's a need, then wash the feet again. Okay, the last line. No.
Okay.
If you like. Yabda'u. B.
Al Janibi.
Al Aymani. Jasadihi. Min Jasadihi. Al Ay. ثم العيسر. طيب يتيامن, meaning that, what is this word? What is the meaning of this word? يعني meaning giving preference, starting from the right. يعني that in making ghusl, you give preference to the right. So you start with the right, and whatever you do, there's right hand, left hand, right foot, right side, left side, you start with the right. So what does this mean? A. يبدأ. He begins. Yani it means that he begins bi ghusli al janibi al aymani. That he begins by washing the right side. Min jasadihi, of his body. Thumma al aysar, and then the left side. Fayyib. So this is also part of ghusl, right? That you, yani, wash, that you give preference to the right side, by beginning with the right side and then the left side counterpart. Naam, ثُمَّ الْأَيْسَرْ, يعني, the meaning is what? يَبْدَأُ بِغُسْلِ الْ جانبي الأيمني ثم الجانبي الأيسري. يعني the meaning here, right? ثم, ثم is a conjunction. It's connecting it to what? بغسل الجانبي الأيمني ثم الجانبي الأيسري. الأيمني والأيسري. أيمني from يمين, right? أيسري from يسار, left. Okay, any question? Any question? Okay, so this is the description. This is the description. It's a good description. Any, maybe a few points here and there we can add to it, right? But it's a good description. The meaning of it, the first line, translation. Meaning is what? Just translation.
Line?
First line.
He intends
the washing from major impurity. Second, next line. He says Bismillah. Next line. He washes two hands up to the wrist, palms up to the wrist, three times. Next line. Now he pours water with his right hand, using his right hand upon his left hand, and then washes private parts. Fifth line. He makes wudu just like he makes it for salat. Complete wudu. Sixth line. Pours the water over his whole body. Seventh line. Pours water over his head three times. Eighth line. He washes both feet, 2 feet, in another place when there's a need to. Like, such as, if there was, if he was, kanat al-ard, the ard that he's standing upon was the soil of the earth. Okay? And, yani, giving preference to the right means that the person begins by washing the right side of their body and then the left, meaning the left side of their body. Yani, maybe a few comments that we can make here quickly, yani, because I don't know, our time is a little bit short. I just want to say, emphasize, the intention is very important in any act of worship, but the intention should be in the heart. The person should be conscious. And intention is of two types. I mean, there are two categories of intention that the scholars address. There are some scholars who address the intention, meaning the ikhlas, sincerity for the sake of Allah alone. And there are other scholars who address intention from the perspective of fiqh, meaning that he's intending to make ghusl, he's intending to make, you know, obligatory ghusl, voluntary ghusl, any, that kind of intention. So when we say yanwi, it includes both of them. But the most important intention is that it's ikhlas, sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. But certainly there also has to be intention of what you're actually doing. I'm making ghusl. I intend to make ghusl. Yani from janabah. As opposed to ghusl, just because, you know, I want to wash up before I go out to work today. Right? That's a different ghusl, right? No. This ghusl is obligatory to remove the major impurity. This ghusl is just to be clean. So that's a kind of intention. I'm saying here, when we talk about intention, we are talking about both of them, generally speaking. In this case, we mean both of them. But the most important of it is that I'm doing this sincerely for the sake of Allah. A person should not make intention, I'm making ghusl from janabah, and forget to have in their heart that they're doing it sincerely for the sake of Allah alone. Please, and that's the point I want to make now.
No, so like, for example, you know, the ghusl on Friday.
No.
So now, you know the hadith that, you know, there is, that the Prophet ﷺ, he highly recommended, and some scholars say obligatory,
no,
ghusl on Jum'ah.
No.
So now, it's sort of like, does it have to come in your heart that, you know, you want to make the ghusl? Like, for example, you just, you know that it's Friday and you just make it. And not necessarily like, you know, it does not come in your heart, I guess. You know what I mean? Like before starting the ghusl.
Yani, should you be conscious that you're making this ghusl because it is Yawmul Jumu'ah, and you know that this is legislated in Islam to make ghusl specifically for Yawmul Jumu'ah?
I mean, does it have to come in your heart like that?
It's better that it should. It's better that it should. Does it mean that it's invalid? No, it doesn't mean that it's invalid. Because that's why I'm saying that there are two types of areas of intention, right? The most important of them is that you're doing it for the sake of Allah alone. But should you be conscious of the fact that every day I take a ghusl before I go out to go to work? Right? I'm saying, a person is saying, for example,
right.
But today is Yawm al-Jumrah. This ghusl on this day is something that is specific for this day, for this act of worship. So if a person is conscious of that, certainly that's better than the person who's not conscious of that. Because one person is making ghusl, because I do it every day, I just want to be clean. And the other person is saying, today is Yawm al-Jumrah. And Allah wants us to take a ghusl, especially on this day, more than any other day. So that's a different, for sure. That's different. Does it mean it's invalid? We don't say that it means invalid. But we say that it's better that a person be conscious of that.
It mentions the word yanwi, so like yanwi is mentioned, so that's why I'm asking. You have to have the intention, so like what does it exactly mean to have the intention? Like
What does it mean to have the intention? It means that a person is conscious and aware that what they're doing at the moment that before they begin doing it, they should be conscious that I'm doing an act of worship. Otherwise, the person who's doing active worship without consciousness, right? What is that condition? What is the condition of a person who's doing active worship unconsciously? They don't know. Yeah, that's not ibadah, that's adah. And Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said, this is the difference between one people and another people. Some people are doing acts of worship ka'adah, just as it's just a routine, habit. And the other people are taking the adah, and they're making it ibadah, because they're saying, I'm doing this, it's not worship originally, but I'm doing it because this is more pleasing to Allah. Uh-huh. It's not a worship, it's just a normal thing. It's just like I'm eating some food, but I'm eating halal food, I'm eating at the time that's permissible, and so on and so forth. So the adah, the habit, became ibadah. And these people's ibadah became adah. Subhanallah. That's from what? The consciousness of being aware of everything that you say and do, as the Shaykh said, that everything that you say and do, you should be conscious that you're doing it, because yani, it's from what Allah has legislated. It's from the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's something that Allah has legislated in Islam, and that's why you're saying it, that's why you're doing it. Even though some of those things are just common acts that you do every day. But if you do it with that consciousness, then the adah, the normal habitual thing, becomes ibadah. We don't have a lot of time, brother, so try to, you know, don't get a sidetrack on this. It's important, but I'm saying the time.
Isn't that the difference why Allah talked about the Sahaba, that the meal was always good,
the intention is critical.
To eat, to rest, to make the body strong, all of this, his question was, can you make the ghusl at Maghrib?
Yeah, there's a big difference of opinion about that. Some scholars say you can make it the night before, after Maghrib. Some say you can only make it after Fajr on that day. And some, and the best, and what is yani best, is that a person makes it just before going to Jumrah if they're able to. That's the best. But if a person makes it after Fajr, they're definitely safe. If they make it before Fajr, a lot of scholars don't accept it. And the night before, some scholars don't accept it. And there's a long discussion about it, but yani, Allahu A'lam. Anyway, yani, intention, we should be careful. We should be careful and make sure that we do have intention and that we are conscious of what we're doing when we're doing any act of worship. And we shouldn't just heedlessly, and unaware, inattentively enter into the salat. And you just go to the masjid and the people, they call the comedy lineup and you say, Allahu Akbar. And you didn't think for one moment that I'm about to pray. I mean, you know that you're getting ready to pray, but you didn't have any presence of heart and mind that I'm standing in front of Allah. As Shaykh, as Ibn Qayyim said, the person should have, this is from the adab of the abid, that I'm conscious, I'm aware, I'm bringing to my mind that I'm standing in front of the Lord of the worlds. What kind of adab am I supposed to observe when I'm standing in front of Allah? What type of presence of heart and mind am I supposed to have when I'm standing in front of Allah, the Lord of the worlds? I'm addressing Him. He's listening to me. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Yani Allah listens to the one who praises Him. And when you are saying that, you have to have a consciousness that, subhanAllah, when you are saying that, you are reminding yourself that Allah is listening to the one who's praising Him. Now you do what? You praise Him. Yani, that's a consciousness. That word is to make you conscious of what you're getting ready to do. Sami Allahu liman hamida. Rabbana wa lakal hamd. Hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. Mid as samawat. Into the end of what the Prophet ﷺ said. Before all of that, you said what? My Lord is going to be listening to me when I'm praising Him. That's a consciousness. The person who doesn't have that is not like the one who has that. It's not the same. We're not saying that that person's prayer is invalid, but the value of it, the worth of it, the reward of it, wallahi, is the difference between night and day. Both of them standing there together, going through the same motions, saying the same things, one with consciousness and the other one without consciousness. Yeah, verbalizing it, a niyyah in prayer, is not from the sunnah. It's mukhalif as-sunnah, for sure. It's against the sunnah. Consciousness in the heart, naam. Yeah, some people, a lot of the books, in the old days, Abdul Karim can tell you, all the books used to say that, right? When we learned how to salat, the book told us, you got to say these words. Now, waitu, salatul dhuhr, arba'a rak'at, kaza wa kaza, all of this. Yeah, from where? They just made it up. It shouldn't say that. Don't say any of that. Just have consciousness in your heart that you're getting ready to perform salat for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani consciousness that is dhuhr prayer, asr prayer, you know what you're praying. Yeah. Yani a person going to pray, he don't know if he's praying maghrib or isha.
Right.
People don't think that it doesn't happen. That's common. People are entering prayer without thinking.
I mean, I'm going to say, sometimes you want to make sunnah. You want to make farz, but you think that you're going to make sunnah.
Yeah. So we are human beings. So that means that this is a striving that we have to make sure that we and get the full benefit of our worship. That we get the full benefit of our worship is by this consciousness. Mustafa?
Yeah, I have two things. I forgot. One thing was, if you don't have consciousness, can it be considered you do it for Riyah, Nasi?
Well, it doesn't mean that you're doing it for riya.
But
I'm saying a person might not have consciousness. They're not doing it out of riya, but they just are sleeping. They're sleeping. They're not conscious.
Okay, the first thing was one time I was at 29th Street. The imam said, once you leave your house and come regarding the niyyah. Once you leave your house to come to prayer, that means you have already the niyyah. You don't need to again formulate the intention.
Well, the niyyah is something that, in any act of worship, if it's ongoing, if it's not one, momentary act, rather it's ongoing. The niyyah, you have to maintain your niyyah throughout the whole prayer, throughout the whole day of fasting, throughout the whole whatever you're doing. And if a person is given sadaqah and he has niyyah to give sadaqah, Bismillah. That just one act, take a moment. Okay, so, he doesn't have to worry for the next 15 minutes to maintain the niyyah. He's finished it, khalas. He had niyyah for it, it's good. But a person's praying, so you have niyyah in the beginning and the end you don't have any more niyyah. No, how's that? You have niyyah, sure you have niyyah when you come into the masjid. You're walking 5 blocks or 10 blocks or driving 15 minutes, but when you get to the masjid, and you still have to have consciousness, presence of mind, and hudur al-qalb. That's mandatory. That's from the core of the worship. That a person's heart and mind is present. They're conscious of what they're doing. Before they start, when they start, during it, until the end of it. And Allah knows best. Anyway, we're going to stop here because we want to finish. We're going to try to finish, okay? And we only have a couple of minutes remaining. Okay, so where are we at? Did we finish the reading?
Yeah.
Okay, so I said I wanted to make a couple of comments. Okay, first comment is about intention. Second comment is mentioning of Allah. We said it before, we'll say it again. Yani, the yusammillah means tasmiyah, saying bismillah. Okay, washing the hands, pouring water with the right hand, the left hand. That also in this ghusl is mentioned in some of the narrations, inshallah, we'll look at it maybe next time, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he washed his hands and then he did this. Yani, in other words, before he washed the private parts, he washed both hands. And then he used the right hand to pour water on the left hand to wash the private parts. And after he washed the private parts, he rubbed his hand on the sand or on the wall, to remove the uncleanliness that comes, the hand that he used to wash the private parts, to remove the uncleanliness from that. And then he made wudu. Okay, so, we'll look at some of the narrations, inshallah, to remember that the first thing he did, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam washed his hands. Second thing he did, he made istinja, washing the private parts. And then after that, he removed some of the impurities by rubbing his hand in the sand or the wall or something. And then he made ablution. Just like the ablution, for salat. And that could mean, according to different opinions of the scholars, that he made the complete ablution, including the feet. And some scholars, according to other narrations, say he did the feet last. But what's more correct is that he did the feet on this point right here. He poured water over his body and then he poured water over his head 3 times. What is actually narrated in a number of hadith in Bukhari and Muslim from Maymuna radiallahu anha, the wife of the Prophet, from Aisha radiallahu anha, and others, is that he poured water over his head first, and then he poured water over his body. In that order, the head first and then the body. And before he poured water over his head, he rubbed his fingers with water on them into the scalp of his head to make sure it reached the scalp, and then he poured water over his head 3 times, and then he poured water over his body. And inshallah we look at some of those narrations. And then he washed his, then he moved, and then he washed his feet in another place. And according to those who say that there's difference of opinion about this. Yani, does he wash his feet at the end, or does he wash it in the beginning? And some scholars said to combine between the different narrations that suggest this opinion or that opinion, is that he washed it both times. And he washed it in the beginning when he's making ablution, and before he washed the rest of the body. And then if there's a need, he also washed it at the end after moving to another place. So these are just a couple of comments I wanted to make quickly before we close from this. And inshallah, maybe we'll look at some of the actual wording of the hadith not now, because there's really no time. It's 1 minute. But in any case, in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, some of the wording of the hadith is what? إِذَا اتَّخَذَ مِنَ الْجَنَابِ غَسَلَ يَدَيْهِ ثُمَّ تَوَضَّعِ وُضُوءُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. This is a narration of Aisha that is indicated in this reading here. ثُمَّ تَوَضَّعَ وُضُوءَهُ لِلصَّلَاةِ. يعني he made wudu like the wudu for salat, complete wudu. ثُمَّ يُخَلِّلُ يَدَيْهِ شَعْرَهُ. Then he rubbed his fingers into his hair حَتَّى إِذَا ظَنَّ أَنَّهُ قَدْ عَرَى بَشَرَتَهُ, until he was sure or pretty much certain that the water had reached the basharatahu, yani the scalp of his head, the root of his hair, scalp of his head. At that point then, afadha alayhi al-ma, then he poured water over his head after rubbing the fingers into the scalp of the hair, thalatha marratin, 3 times, thumma ghassala sa'ir al-jasadi. And then after that, in this hadith is crystal clear, right? That he poured the water over his head, thumma ghassala sa'ir al-jasadi, then he washed the rest of his body. Which proves that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam washed the hair, he poured water over here, over the hair, over the head, before he poured water over the body. There's one more point, just quickly. Allahumma musta'an. Oh yeah, the hadith of Maymuna. Yani both of these hadith are sahih from Bukhari and or Muslim. And the hadith of Maymuna, wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "I put the water of wudu for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to wash himself from janaba, and he poured with his right hand over the left hand 2 times or 3 times. ثم غسل فرجه, that he poured water over his hands 2 times or 3 times, then he washed the private parts, and with the left hand. ثم ضرب يده بالأرض, then he struck his hand on the ground. أو الحائط, or the wall. مرتين أو ثلاثا, 2 or 3 times. ثم مضمض واستنشق. In this hadith of Maymuna, she actually talks about the wudu. She doesn't just say he made wudu. She said then he washed his mouth and his nose. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ, then he washed his face. وَذِرَاعَيْهِ, and his forearms. ثُمَّ أَفَاضَ عَلَى رَأْسِهِ الْمَاءِ, then he poured water over his head. She doesn't mention here rubbing the fingers into the scalp. That's why we need more than one narration, right? Then he poured water over his head. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ سَعْرَ جَسَدِهِ, then he washed the rest of his body. Meaning again in this narration, what? Did the head first and then the rest of the body. ثُمَّ تَنَحَى فَغَسَلَ رِجْلَيْهِ, and then he moved over and he washed his 2 feet. And this narration doesn't mention him making wudu like the wudu of salat. And this narration is the other people's opinion, said, then he moved over and he washed his feet. Those people say he washed his feet at the end. The other people say, no, he washed in the beginning because he made wudu like the wudu of salat. And Aisha doesn't mention washing the feet here. When she talks about the wudu, she said he rinsed his mouth and he rinsed his nose, he washed his face, washed his forearms, poured over his head, the rest of his body. She doesn't mention in the wudu washing the feet. And that's why some people have that opinion. Then he washed his 2 feet. فَأَتَيْتُهُ بِخِرْقَةٍ, then I came to him with a piece of cloth. فَلَمْ يُرُدْهَا, but he didn't desire it. فَجَعَلَ يَنْفُضُ الْمَا بِيَدَيْهِ, and then he started removing the water with his 2 hands, not using a towel or cloth. That's in the hadith of Maymuna. Naam, in Bukhari. No, each of them have specifics the other one doesn't have. Each of them have specifics that the other one doesn't have. But in combining them, then this is really the best thing to do. Anyway, I just wanted to read a little bit of this so we could see the narrations that yani, are indicated in this description and what's left out from it and what we should be paying attention to, inshallah. And inshallah, both of these narrations and the discussion concerning them, I have it here in Arabic, but perhaps I can send it to the class in Arabic and in English, so that yani, you can see the Arabic, and that's beneficial yani, for Arabic study, even though we don't have the time to go through all the narrations and the whole discussion, because there's a lot of discussion concerning the fiqh of this. But at least we could see the Arabic and look at the text of the hadith, and we could also see the meanings that are derived from it, and you can read them, inshallah, on your own time. We're going to stop here so that we don't really go too far over time, even though we started a little bit late. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Okay, for homework, please reread this description carefully, and do the exercises, so that in the next class, inshallah, we'll go through the exercises and start the next topic, which is Salawat al-Maktuba, the obligatory prayers. So in the next class, we're going to do the exercises on page 9 and the top of page 10. And you write the description of ghusl min al-janaba, mention which parts are washed, and what do you begin with, and which hand do you pour the water with, and which hand do you wash the private parts with, and how many times do you pour water on the head, and where do you wash the feet, and give the past tense of the following verbs and the plurals of the following singular words. Please try to do some of those exercises for homework. We'll do them in class, yani from the start next week, inshallah, we'll do the exercise, and then we go on to the next topic, which is on page 10, the second half of page 10, the obligatory prayers, as-salawat al-maktuba. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.